Thanks for taking the time today to listen to Capital Baptist Church. Today's special guest is Ken Andrews. Ken has been featured on NBC's The Biggest Loser. Today, Ken will be sharing his powerful testimony of how he started as a victim and in the end became a victor and gave God the glory. Thanks for taking the time to listen today, and remember to check us out at capitalbaptist.org.
Obese people, overweight people, don't realize how much this can change their families. In our home, we've lost about 550 pounds. We get better gas mileage. People have no idea. They ask me, how do you pay? I can't afford a gym. I can't afford a trainer. I can't afford to eat right. I can't afford to buy that kind of food. And I tell them that I have health insurance. I was on 11 prescription medications. The money I save just on my co-pays more than pays for my trainer and my gym membership for my whole family. We don't realize how much it cost us to maintain the life that I was. My largest at 455 pounds. I'd like to start by sharing the part of the story where I explain that while you're on that show, you don't have any control of what America sees. They probably film 100 hours or more a week, and they whittle it all down to 2 hours. And while I was there, one of the things that I did was I shared consistently about what God was doing in my life. And almost every time I weighed in, we would, Austin or I or both of us, would make comments in our interviews and different things about what I was experiencing, my walk of tears. And when I got home, and, you know, the show, they vote you off the island. You know what I mean? They vote. And you know what? What's funny, I don't know how many of you have ever read the book or watched the movie Hunger Games. That was like the number one book that was being passed around while I was on the show Biggest Loser. And I actually said to somebody, well, I'm just thankful that all we do is vote each other out. We're not to kill each other here. You know what I mean? But the reality was I got home and realized that most everything that I had ever said had been edited out. And that even when I stood on the scale and said, I just thank God for what he's doing in my life because I'm changing from the inside out, that was all edited. And so I began to think, the finale was coming up, it was about 2 months away. I began to think of what can I do where I can somehow give glory to God. Well, by the end of the show, they mentioned I was a pastor. They asked me how my congregation was dealing with this. They called one of the things that I had did my leap of faith. So they began to acknowledge my faith. But I had decided that what I want to do is when I walked out wearing the suit that they had given me, that I would go through this motion, that I would touch my heart, that I would go to my mouth, and that I would point up. And what I was saying through my actions was, from my heart, through my mouth, I will give the glory to God for what he's done. Now, I'm sure many of you have heard the story of the prodigal son, correct? The point of that story, even though we call it the prodigal son, it's not really the son. The focal point of the story is really about the loving father. So I'm going to share with you my story this morning, but the focal point of this story isn't me. The focal point of the story is the loving father who loved me so much, he put me on a crazy game show and he changed my life. He changed my life. You know, the passage, Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I had never embraced that scripture the same as I did when I got to Biggest Loser. That scripture began to impact me, and I realized how much I needed a transformation of the mind. And that scripture means so much more to me today than it did before. For years, my health had been in decline. In 2008, I'd almost died of sepsis due largely to my obesity. And I became desperate. And I met with somebody in our church who had lost a lot of weight, who's a dear friend. And amongst the things that she mentioned she was doing was she said, and one of the main things I did is I started watching Biggest Loser because it really motivated me. I had never watched Biggest Loser before that. I think that season was season 8. I had always assumed that Biggest Loser just took advantage of overweight people, exploited obesity to make money for television, and had never watched the program. Well, I started to watch, and there was a recipe for mashed cauliflower. I'm sure that just made all of you think, oh, I can't wait for lunch. Mashed cauliflower, you know what I mean? Yeah, there's a rush. You know, KFC is starting to sell mashed cauliflower. They don't, all right? For us, mashed potatoes was a food group, and now after that sepsis, I now had full-on diabetes, and I was taking the maximum amount of metformin they would let me take. They wanted me to go on insulin, and I was really fighting the insulin. And so I decided I would look at the recipe for mashed cauliflower because they said you could eat mashed cauliflower and take the place of mashed potatoes. Well, it won't, okay? I mean, I still will occasionally have mashed cauliflower, but it isn't mashed potatoes. But I went to get the recipe, joined a website to get that recipe, and there was an ad there for a show with Jillian Michaels. Now, I had downloaded all kinds of different ads, applications for shows, Survivor, Amazing Race, never filled out anything, just wanted to see what it would take. And I downloaded the application, went in, talked to the family. Austin was not for us going on television. He said he would move out if we did. And so I threw the application away. And 3 days later, I got a phone call. Lady said, hello, is this Ken Andrews? And I said, yes. And she said, my name is Jody, and I'm one of the casting directors over at Losing It with Jillian. And we noticed that you downloaded the application for the show, but you never completed it. And I said, do you call everybody that joins the website? And she said, no. She said, but actually, we're getting ready to interview people over the next week or so, and you guys are 15, 20 minutes away from our offices, and we thought we would just take a gamble and see what your family was like. And so for the next hour and a half, she talked to me about my family and what was going on and our weight and everything else. And by the end of that time, we were invited to go to Hollywood to do an on-camera interview as all 5 of us. And we were actually chosen for Jillian's show. They canceled it before they got to our episode. We were pretty devastated as a family. We thought, you know, we'd put all our hopes on this. She was going to come for a week and help us get trainers and throw out all the bad food. We couldn't do that ourselves. You know, 8 months later, Jody went to work for Biggest Loser, and I got a phone call. And about a month after that, we were invited to try out and to actually be on the show. It was amazing. Now, I have to tell you, we didn't mail in a tape. I never stood in a casting line. And it wasn't because we were too good. It was because literally we had so little hope and we had been rejected in society so much. Why would we go stand in line with thousands of other people to only be told no again? So God knew we would have to get a call and an invitation to try out. All right. I don't know of any other contestant that's what happened to them. That's how they got on the show. Maybe it's happened. I don't know. I haven't met any of them that ever told that kind of story. Many times they stood in line for 3 or 4 different times, seasons after season, going before the casting director and getting 2 minutes to share their story and them making a decision about whether they want them based on that. But God knew that we needed this. He knew what he was doing. Now, when we first showed up on the ranch, we show up, it's the Biggest Loser ranch, you're there, you walk in, you're excited and scared to death, walking into a gym, hadn't been in a gym in years, like 20 years. Walked into the gym, and they tell us that we're going to have a 5K challenge first thing, and we're going to run the 5K in teams. Our partners, so Austin and I ran together, and the people that place highest get a choice. They get the choice of either going and training with the famous trainers Bob and Jillian and staying on the ranch, or you can get 4 weeks of immunity and go train in an unknown location with 2 unknown trainers. Well, Austin and I decided we would do our best to win because we wanted the choice to go with the unknown trainers. Now, we love Bob and Jillian, But we were very concerned that with my health, we would fall below the yellow line. When I showed up there, I was on 11 prescription medications. I couldn't run. The first workout, I passed out. I woke up with my feet in buckets of ice and ice around my neck. They were concerned enough about my health that I was one of the guys that they would make us swallow a little round internal thermometer and watch your temperature from the side to make sure it didn't go too high. So we chose immunity because we knew that would give me 6 or 7 weeks of getting healthy. And actually my fear was that if we got below the yellow line, that they wouldn't vote me out, that they'd vote my son out because he might be the one that actually could win the show. And people that are really cutthroat, and you never know what the contestants are going to be like, they could actually vote him out because he'd be the stiffest competition. So we chose. Now that's important because this, Bob and Jillian live, they have, you know, they're stars. So they have a beautiful home in Malibu and a beautiful home in Beverly Hills, and that's where they live. And they're on the ranch, I don't know, 10, 12, maybe 14 hours a week, training their contestants. My trainers were poor. They lived 150 yards from my cabin. At 6 o'clock in the morning, they showed up to knock on the door to get us up for our hike, and then we were busy the entire day, and at 9:30 at night when we were done in the gym, they would say, good night, you finished your homework, you can go to bed. And then you'd stumble to your room and just about collapse in your bed. I was so tired and so sore after the first night that I went to wash my hair and I could not touch my head. I ended up squirting some shampoo on the side of the wall, and I'm rubbing my head like this. You have no idea the pain. You have no idea the pain. And some of you say, I can't do it because it's too painful. I want you to know something. I understand pain. In the first workout, I had had a ventral hernia repair. And in the first workout, that repair broke. For the rest of the entire 6 months that I was on the show, I did the workouts and went through the training with that ventral hernia. I still have it. You know why? Because I haven't slowed down. At some point, I'll slow down a little bit. I'll take the time to go get the surgery and get it repaired. But I'm just living with it. Pain just tells you you're still alive. Don't let it control you. Amen. So they were there. Now, we were so busy every single day. I finally got to a point where I realized I needed to have my time with God. And after 3 weeks, I realized there was like no time. Television interviews, challenges, filming. It was like every minute of the day you're scheduled. And I went to my trainer and said, I have to have some time with God. He agreed to allow me to walk behind everybody else on the hikes, about 100 yards. And I could listen to worship. I could pray, or I could listen to my audio Bible. I agreed that that'd be great. On the very first day, you see, transformation begins with an encounter. Transformation begins with an encounter. And I remember, and I'm sure many of you remember the story of Jacob in the Old Testament, Genesis 28:16, where it says, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. It's where he had the dream, the Jacob's ladder dream. I can say the same thing. The Lord was there, and I didn't know it. And I started listening on my iPod, and I was trying to find some worship because I didn't have any playlist. I came across a song I'd never heard before, and I started letting it play. And this is how it started. It's time for healing, time to move on. It's time to fix what's been broken so long. Time to make right what has been wrong. Time to find my way back to where I belong. There's a wave that's crashing over me, and all I can do is surrender to whatever you're doing inside of me. It feels like chaos, but somehow there's peace. Well, it's hard to surrender to what I can't see, but I'm giving in to something heavenly. And God's Spirit fell All of a sudden, I realized in that moment that I was not on a television show, that I wasn't there to make money, that I wasn't there to win a $250,000 prize. I was not there for my son's health. I was there because I had a divine appointment with God, and I encountered the God of the universe, and he was there to change my life. And then the tears began to flow, and the second verse to the song came, and the words were, "It's time for a milestone, time to begin again, to reevaluate who I really am. Am I doing everything to follow your will, or am I wandering aimlessly over these hills, and I'm on the hills of Malibu, and by this time, I'm not just weeping, I'm sobbing on my knees in the dirt." They never made me walk behind the group again. Brett told me, "You go do your walks, you go do the hike you want, go have that time, because I know that something's happening to you." 3 days later, we're going and we're doing this workout. We get around this boxing ring, and the ring, each of us gets in the ring one at a time. You have to do 100 punches into a bag. You have to do 100 elbows into a bag. You have to do 100 knees. And then you have to go over and you have to kick this dummy that's bungee corded to the side of the ring. Then you have to unhook it, pick it up, and slam it to the middle. Then after you slam it to the middle, you have to stand up and spin around in the circle and throw it out of the ring. And while you're doing that, every one of the other teammates that are there for that exercise is standing around the ring, and they're pounding their fist. And they're saying, "Clean house, clean house, clean house, clean house." Now what you don't know is the bridge of this song says, "Time to fess up, to clean this old house. Time to make right and get everything cleaned out." Brett says to us, "One of the reasons that so many of you are obese is because you have things in your life that you need to clean out. You need to clean out the house of your life." And I said at that moment, "Okay, God, I get this. I get it. You don't have to write it on the tree. You don't have to put it in the sky. I get the message you're giving me here." I had an encounter with God, and I wept that first morning, but that wasn't the end. I wept the next morning. I wept day after day, week after week, month after month, every morning, from the middle of October through the end of January. I encountered God every morning. What started as tears of regret and tears of repentance ended up tears of gratitude and joy for the repair and the work that God had done in healing my brokenness. He changed me from the inside out. You see, I was one of the only contestants that my greatest weeks of weight loss wasn't week one. Week one is usually the week everybody puts up their biggest number. Moses on our season lost 41 pounds. Austin did 27. Two of our contestants did 27. Another one did 32. My greatest weeks of weight loss, both of them, came the 2 weeks immediately following my encounter with God. Because as God healed my heart, my weight began to fall off my body. And I realized something. I didn't have a weight problem. I had a heart problem. I had 2 stomach surgeries. They fixed my stomach. But it wasn't until my heart was fixed. You see, you can have stomach surgery. You can fix. So you can't eat a lot, but you'll eat right through the surgeries if you don't fix what's broken inside. The Lord fixed what was broken inside. And I have to tell you, now this is the part we as Christians don't enjoy. You see, transformation is hard work. Losing the weight required hours and hours of the gym. I used to walk on most days between 12, sometimes as high as 16 miles a day, besides the workouts in the gym. You just never stop moving. Austin and I would be the first ones out the door at 5:30 a.m. I would usually finish my last mile about 11 o'clock at night, walking that mile. But the hardest work was the emotional work, the spiritual work of meeting God every morning, working with the psychologist on the weekends to talk through what it was the pain that I was dealing with. You see, I had had a tragedy from my childhood that I actually, when I went on the show, I had been plagued with nightmares for years. But I'd never put all the pieces together. And there was something about the physical breakdown of the boot camp atmosphere and the emotional struggle of being in a house with 20 other people and 2 washing machines and 6 stove burners. Everybody trying to cook their own food. That stress brought everything to the surface. And I began to remember. And I remember someone breaking into our home when I was about 4. My dad was in the service. I remember waking up to the noise of my mother being attacked. I remember walking in and evidently making some sort of noise because the person heard. And he chased me down. And he beat me. I don't remember how much, how many times. I remember him whispering in my ear, "If you tell anyone what's happened, I will come back and I will kill your baby brother and your mom." And then he said, and I can remember, I can hear it in my ear, "And I know your daddy's not home to protect you," because my dad was stationed overseas at that moment. My mom has passed on. We never ever talked about that. I never remembered it. When I went home, I began to talk to some of my family members, and I described the person, and my aunt Rose recognized him as someone that had lived in an apartment complex where we lived. And she had actually told my mother, "Stay away from that man. There's something wrong with him." Brokenness. You see, the pain of my past was destructive to my present. And running from my past was destructive to my present. Running from your past will be destructive to your present. So do the hard work. Face it. We want the instant God makeover vision. We want to come to the altar sometimes. We want to just come to the Lord, pray, have an experience, and get up, and it's all done. And usually, I'm sorry, it's not like that. I've met a few people over my life who quit smoking. And some, they prayed and they quit. But that's the rare person. Usually they got to fight it. Usually it's that fight. And I don't know, I don't understand it all in God's timing, but the normal way that we work through things is hard work. Amen. Psalm 23 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." He doesn't say he's going to swoop in with a helicopter and rescue us. He says he walks through the valleys with us. It is what builds character. It's what sets our roots deep when we face the things of life that are difficult. And that's what gives us character and strength. You see, becoming like Jesus is a journey, not just a moment. It begins with a moment, but it's the journey that makes us like him. And that brings me to the third lesson of transformation. Transformation restores and heals. It brought such incredible healing to my life. I, like Jacob, you see, Jacob had that encounter initially. And then what ended up happening is Jacob goes away, works all those years, gains all his possessions and his 2 wives and his family. And what does he do? He has to go back to face his past. He returns home. And the first thing he knows he's going to do is face his brother. And he goes off to the side and he has another encounter with God. And he wrestles all night long. But in this encounter, he's transformed because he's no longer Jacob, the deceiver. He's now Israel, the glory of God. God's glory. Transformation, it is hard work. It brings restoration and healing. And finally, we get to the end of the season. And they fly us to New Zealand. And we're going to do extreme sports there. Things we'd never dreamed of doing. We get on this hilltop. Beautiful hilltop overseeing the city of Auckland. I don't know. I can't explain New Zealand except to say when you get to New Zealand, you feel like you just looked at God's thumbprint. That's how beautiful it is. We go into the heart of the city and they take us to this tower. It's the tallest structure in the southern hemisphere called the Sky Tower. And they say, "You guys are going to climb the stairs to the top." Yes. 1,067 feet, I believe. And you guys are going to jump. I want to show you the video.
bit more nervous than you were on the inside. Yeah. No worries.
How could I have found myself in New Zealand of all places getting ready to jump off the highest structure in the southern hemisphere? I just don't know if I can do this.
Everyone that comes up feels a little bit nervous. So what's going to happen, I'm going to put this one onto the front, just like this.
Okay. Before I ever step onto this steel plank, I'm thinking there was a couple of guys in the group that are too large weight-wise to make this jump, and I'm wishing I was one of them.
Back up.
Here it goes.
Come on, Ken.
Right hand, grab that. Left hand over here. Toes on the edge and wait there for us.
Oh my gosh, Ken.
We're going to come down now. Ken, are you ready?
Yeah.
This is what Biggest Loser is all about. It's about facing your fears head on and jumping right over them.
Woo! Yeah, Ken! Yeah, baby! Way to go, Ken!
Yeah!
Woo!
Oh, yeah, baby! Oh, my gosh.
Okay, you can go ahead and cut it.
Now, let me explain. I don't know that any of you, if my fear of heights was the greatest fear I'd ever had in my life. I've been on one Ferris wheel once, and I screamed for them to get me off. When I got to the edge, it was like everything slowed down. And I said to the Lord, you see, transformation brings freedom. And I told the Lord, I realized that my entire journey had been about trust. I had to trust that the doctors weren't going to allow me to die. My father had already had 2 major heart attacks by the time he was my age when I went on the show. And he never weighed near, he was always 100 pounds below what I weighed when I went on the show. I was afraid I was going to die. I had to trust that my trainers weren't going to hurt me and they were going to ask me to do things that I could actually do and not hurt myself. I had to trust that the production was not going to make me look like a crazy Christian. And any of you that watch Survivor or any of the other reality shows, you know how they sometimes make Christians look, make them look stupid. And maybe there are stupid Christians, all right? I'm not, you know what I mean? Okay, don't look around the room, all right? Okay? Okay? But there are people like that. But I was worried. I had to put my trust. And I told the Lord, I am putting my trust in you, and I will never again not trust you. I am throwing myself into your arms. And as I began to fall, something changed within me. I don't have the same fear of heights I did. It doesn't control me any longer. But not only the fear of heights, my anxiety when I'm in groups of people, my anxiety when I would walk into a restaurant, it was 2 days later that I began to realize we walked into a restaurant to eat and I sat down and we ordered and all of a sudden I hadn't been worried about where I was going to sit or who I was going to sit with or whether they were going to have something I could eat. And I can't tell you, when I would take an invitation from someone in my church as a pastor to go out to eat, I would go to the restaurant first we were going to go to make sure I could get into a place, I could have a chair to sit in, that I would fit, that there was food that I could eat. That's how much anxiety I had, and it was gone like that. Transformation starts with an encounter. It is hard work, but that hard work it results in restoration and healing and the greatest level of freedom you can ever experience. So I challenge you today, what is the leap of faith you need to make to follow him and to experience that transformation? And you know what? With that said, it's from my heart to my mouth that I give him praise for what he's done in my life. God bless you.
All right, praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And today, let's not get focused on the experience of the show, but on the God behind that experience. Because that same God is here today, and he wants to transform your life. And today, I'd like to encourage you to consider what is God saying to you? How is God speaking to you? What next step or steps do you need to take in your life? And maybe today you've never had the most important encounter, and that is an encounter to ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior and your Lord. And the Bible tells us that we've all sinned against God, and we deserve the penalty of hell. The bottom line is, you know, no matter how healthy you are, one day you're going to die. And you're going to have to face God. And you don't want to face God as a sinner. You want to face God as one who's been saved, who's asked Jesus Christ into their life as Savior and Lord. And today, if you've never made that, to believe this, you need to believe that Jesus, listen, died for that sin, your sin, my sin, our sin. He was buried. And the good news is on the third day, he rose from the grave to give us eternal life. And if we're willing to turn from our sin and put our trust in Jesus and Jesus alone, he can indeed save us today. And if you never made that decision, I encourage you to do that. The Bible says, call on the Lord to be saved. Call on him. Ask him into your life today to be your Savior, your Lord. You say, what do I say? Well, say something like this from your heart to his heart. Dear God, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that Jesus rose from the grave to give me eternal life. And right now, I turn from my sin and I put my faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone to save me. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and take control of my life right now. Today, will you take a next step? Whatever God is telling you to do, will you make a difference with your life? Will you make a difference with your health so you can be here a long time to make an impact on this world? Don't leave this world without an impact. Don't do it. Don't do it. Father, we love you and we thank you for this time together. Thank you for this incredible testimony. You're here with us today. And God, we can have our own experience through you. In Jesus' name, amen.